Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive, Father, to this your word. And Father, we ask Him to guide us and lead us so that we can grow not only in your word, but grow in faith and grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we can have the knowledge and the wisdom of your word to help others that are in need. Now, Heavenly Father, be with us throughout the study this evening, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the third chapter now of 1 Peter. Here's verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in submission or subjection, pardon me, to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wife. 2, while they behold your chastening conversations coupled with fear. You see, wives, you are, those of you that are, the daughters of Almighty God. You don't want to change if your husband is not saved. You want to continue your walk with God, speaking His things in His language, and you see your husband in watching you and listening to you can eventually be won over to receive the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But you're also told other things about how to walk, ladies. Now here are three. It says, who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning, plaiting of the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel. You see, he's warning you about a lot of things that are happening today within you, ladies. Because you are actually dressing the exterior of yourselves, and you're doing it for the wrong reason, because you're doing it to be appealing unto mankind, which also draws his sinful lust of you. That's why you're not to dress that way. Now, but let it be the head man of the heart. Now, he said man, but he's talking here still to the women. And that which is not corruptible, even the armaments of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. You see, God is not looking on the outside, only the way you are carrying yourselves and your actions and the reason that you are doing it. Now, five, for after this manner, in old times, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. You see, back when this was written by the apostles, a lady was dressed to where not even her foot would show. This ought to let you know something, ladies, about all these short miniskirts and micro miniskirts. You're showing a way too much skin. And the tops that are cut way too low. And then with your face all painted up, your long earrings and your gold and all that you're wearing on you. And you see, this is not the only place that tells you about this. If you remember, and those that was with us when we come through Timothy, in 2 Timothy, you did it again. And there are other things about your dress and the way you carry yourself in 1 Corinthians in the 14th chapter. God loves you, and he's got a way for you to do and to look. And he has a reason for that. And let me tell you something else. To a godly man, when you are dressed right in the eyes of God, and you're not all painted up but you're carrying yourself as a woman that is his child, you could never be more beautiful to any man than then. Think about that. Now, 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now, you know, show you, even in the footnotes, how men will change things. You just read this and seen what it said. In the footnotes, from 1 through 6, Peter's teaching on a wife's submission to her husband is similar to Paul's in Ephesus 5:22-24. Disobedient or unsaved husbands are to be won over by the conversation and the behavior of the wives. The woman is to emphasize her inner qualities, not just her outer appearance. The reference to adorning are not for prohibitions or prohibits. In other words, it means that it's not there to prohibit against jewelry and dress. Yes, it is. When he told you not to wear gold and stuff, that says no. But you see, the one that done this has went just the opposite way, see? So much as they are a caution against merely beautifying the external while neglecting the soul. Well, that part is true. But you see, he worded to the extent that a lot of ladies take that as meaning, it's all right, I can wear my face all painted up, I can plait my hair and put it up, I can wear my long gold earrings, my gold necklaces, my gold bracelets. But you see, he'd already said no. And like I said, this is not the only place. You say, well, now, that's not the only place, but, you know, when you go to 1 Timothy 2nd chapter and verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. In other words, cover up. With shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, you see, I wasn't telling you something wasn't so. There's more to that about what the ladies are supposed to be and do, but we're not going to get into that right now. We'll be getting into that a little later. But you know, you can take, and he tells you ladies exactly what to do with and about your hair and all of that. You know, most of you ladies don't know that you're really not supposed to cut your hair. Do you? And men are not to wear long hair. You see, what the Word of God says and what man is teaching today is two different things. Man is teaching so much that is actually contrary to the Word of Almighty God. And that's why we don't see the power of God working in our churches. The church where you go, you that are listening to me, the church where you go, when is the last time you've seen someone healed? Or any of the other of the nine gifts used? You don't see them anymore. And most of those churches will tell you that that don't work anymore, that that all died with the apostles. No, it didn't. Really, it just really started real good then. That's why the apostles could do it. They had some troubles doing those things before the day of Pentecost and the starting of the church, until they were filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. But see, you husbands, he don't leave you out either. 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You see, he is to honor his wife also. And there's other places that will speak about that even stronger than what verse 7 is speaking about. He goes on here in 8, and he says, finally, be ye all of one mind. Be ye all of one mind, having compassion, one of another. Love as brother, be pitiful, be courteous. Tell me something, isn't it? We are all to be of one mind. And that mind is to be on the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, so that we grow thereby. 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. We don't give evil for evil. We don't hold grudges and try to work out a way to get even with those that will do things even against us. And in another place, we're even told, if we're smacked on one cheek, turn the other one also. You see, we are to be as the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no gall. Don't want anything in this filth coming out of our mouths or things coming out that is contrary to the word of Almighty God. We want only those things that pertain to God and his word coming out of our mouths. Now, being in prayer, praying for those that are walking in darkness, praying for our churches that have grown weak, praying for each other even, praying for our nation and ourselves and all that we know, praying for our land and our country. And we need to be praying for Israel and Jerusalem. That's why you hear me pray for them in each study. It's because we are told, we're told to pray for peace for them. Now, Eleven, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You know, you can't explain that any better than what Peter wrote there in that verse. 13. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Well, in this day and time in which we are living right now, we know who will do those, who will do things against us. They'll talk against us and they'll do things against us, trying to drag us backwards and away from the Lord our God. They are the ones that has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ but are walking in darkness. 14. But, and if you suffer for righteous sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. 15. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, when he's talking about us being in weakness and fear, is that fear of the Lord, that we are not speaking something that is against him or against his kingdom. And that we want everything we speak to be right in his sight. Because we know what he has promised to do by those that are not right. So yes, there is a fear with us of what God can and will do. Because he's told us. Now, you know, in that 15, and an answer, a defense of one's beliefs the Christian faith is to be defended by a reasonable apologetic with meekness and fear. That means tenderness and love, that godly love, and the fear of what can happen. 16. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversations in Christ. A good conscience refers to a clear conscience. That is one that is void of offense. Now, 17. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. In the will of God, we are sometimes called on to suffer for well-doing as a testimony to others. And there are times, yes, we as the children of God will be facing trials and tribulations and troubles. But we can even accept those and go through those peace and with joy, because we know that we're not alone. He is there going through with us, giving us strength and courage to hold on and make it through. Now, 19. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, he went and preached to spirits in prison. 20. Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. And when we were studying in the Old Testament, we studied about that. We know that it was just Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives. Now, 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus. 22. Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Now, when we look at those verses, 18 through 22, we find that he might bring us to God means in order that Christ might bring us to our, give us access to God. Since Christ has opened up the way to God, there is no longer the need of a priesthood. And we know this because, you see, we are of the holy royal priesthood. Once you become that born-again child of the living God, you belong to the royal priesthood of Almighty God. Things changed when the church age began. Now, but rather each individual believer is himself a priest, See what I just told you. Christ's descent into Hades took place when he went and preached unto the spirits, which refers to those lost souls in hell who had rejected God. The immediate mention of Noah would indicate that these spirits be understood as the souls of those who heard and rejected Noah's preaching. Well, we know that while his body lay in that tomb, Jesus wasn't there. He had went there, as the word used in that day and time. He went to Hades, which is hell. And he did go to talk and to preach with them. Now, and we know even while he was there, he took the keys away from Satan. Now, we know that Noah's preaching, since they were the largest group of mankind ever to experience the universal judgment of God at one time, this preaching was the announcement of his triumph on the cross, which sealed the faith of those doomed souls. You see, God's word is true, and he means exactly what he says. And there are those out there today that you can give them some passages, and they'll say, that wasn't meant for me. God told me that didn't mean me. That was for you, but it wasn't for me. It's for everyone. And if he says do it, do it. If he says don't do it, then don't do it. Because he's not going to tell me not to do something that's in his word and then turn around and tell you to go and do that. That's not the way the word is. When he says no, he means no. When he says yes, he means yes. You see, we can't play church. You're either going to belong to the Lord's church or you're not. You're either going to be a born-again child of God or you're not. And if you're not, you're not going to be able to make heaven your home. And we were told that back in the Gospel of John as we came through the four Gospels. That unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He put it plain. And it was Jesus himself that said it. And he was telling it to Nicodemus. Come to the end now of chapter 3. God willing, in the morning, we can be in chapter 4. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, I thank you for this word, Father, and I thank you for a time and a place to use it. And I thank you for those, Father, that study with us. Each and every one of them, wherever they are, and those that may not be able to be with us live, Father, as it's being spoken, but as it's been recorded, they can download it, Father, and listen. And I pray that they can get what they need. Now, Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem. We pray for peace for them. But more than that, Father, we pray for those that had rejected the Lord Jesus to accept him as their Savior and as their Messiah. And this land in which we live, Father, that has been brought so much evil upon by those that are sitting in our high offices, in our government, that has brought this evil into being. Father, I pray that they be removed from office and replaced with those that are following you, that love you, love Jesus, loves your church, loves your people, and loves this country. And they will work with us, Father, to put our government back upon the foundation in which this land was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Dennis's wife, Father, for Amy, her husband, her son, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, for James Taylor, Father, for Sue Branson, for Deborah, Courtney and Shane, for my wife, myself, and all of our family members, Father. We all have family members that are walking in darkness. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will work with them and with us to bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that none be lost. Now, Father, be with us throughout this evening and tonight. Keep us in health and keep us safe. And bring us all back together again in the morning at 10 a.m. And back into your word, Father. This is my prayer this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone. Have a great evening. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. Bye-bye now.